one of the really critical proposals that I put together based on what I've heard at the Doors and at community conversations, Justice for All Civil Rights Act was birthed. And the Justice for All Civil Rights Act goes at the core of what the Civil Rights Act of 64 was meant to do, which is the impact of a discriminatory policy on the ground. If it hurts families and is violating people's civil rights, then that should be enough to show that violation. Right now, you know, we look at the Civil Rights Act of 64 thinking it addresses all these issues. But unfortunately, over the last 50 years, the courts have become increasingly conservative and had watered it down. So now you have to show intentional discrimination, which can be very difficult, especially if you look at redlining with the car insurance company, that practice of redlining and the practices by the car insurance company, and the fact that it's very obvious that they target low-income African Americans in our state. We pay the highest car insurance rates in the zip codes in my district. And believe it or not, the Civil Rights of 64, as it's written, that's been interpreted by the courts, don't give us redress, doesn't address those kinds of issues. So it's really important for me to have something that's transformative.
Looking forward to November 6th, what's your game plan? What are you thinking about? What are you doing in the next few days?
We are focused on getting as many voters out and having access to the polls, making sure that the voting process is protected. And as soon as I am elected on Tuesday, I am going to hit the ground running and creating the neighborhood service centers as I promised. And these are service centers that are going to be throughout the district where getting people through everyday issues is going to go hand in hand with the legislative work that I need to do. Folks shouldn't have to wait until I pass Medicare for All to get quality health care now. I should be able to pick up the phone and call a federally accredited clinic to get my senior, you know, hearing aids or my veteran to get the kind of physical therapy that he or she needs. So it's very, very important that my residents are able to get access to me and as an advocate and be able to get the resources they need now. They shouldn't have to wait until I pass a bill.
Any change in focus, direction between the primary victory and now? Anything that's changed you in that time?
More emphasis on equity and funding for education. The fact that I have districts that are having children that don't get access to the same resources that children outside of my district are getting. And you can give children a, you know, same pair of shoes, but if that shoe doesn't fit, you know, that's not true equity. It's not going to help that child. And more I'm hearing about the lack of teachers in our schools now. Ironically, not because we don't have the money, but because we haven't done a good job recruiting teachers within our district.
Why should voters of the 13th District vote for you on Tuesday?
Residents in the 13th Congressional District want somebody that's courageous and has a moral compass, and that's somebody like me. I don't stand down against special interest groups. I stand up. And I am someone that will never have to be checked on my votes, will never have to wonder if I'm going to show up when I'm needed. I'm going to show up every single time. And that is something that, you know, many of my residents have not felt truly that they have had a strong advocate that, you know, won't sell them out.
Are you surprised about Brenda Jones' decision to mount a writing campaign?
I am a bit surprised. The conversations between she and I were always very positive, and, you know, I want everybody to stay focused.